Welcome to Why All Girls Need a Pink Disco Ball, the podcast where you and I become our best selves together. Hi everyone, it's your host and friend Ava here. Not only am I so happy and excited to be here, but wow, am I honored. I am truly honored that we get to spend this time together and become our best selves together. And I want to remind you that listening to this is a perfect form of self-care, okay? So you better be feeling so darn proud of yourself and so good that you clicked on this, because you are about to learn, you're about to grow, and you're about to become a better person for yourself and for your loved ones just by listening to this. And once again, I am honored to be doing that with you. If you're new here, wow, are you especially lucky this episode? Well, I guess I should say you and I both are so lucky because we have our own personal little celebrity here with us today, which is just so crazy because I feel like I'm just a girl with a podcast. Like, what do you mean I have someone important on my podcast today? But yeah, we have a special guest on today, and his name is Mike Schlossberg. Now, Mike isn't a fancy psychologist or a psychiatrist or even one of my psychology professors. Nope, none of that. Mike Schlossberg is actually a politician here in Pennsylvania. I'm going to spare you the confusion. Representative Mike Schlossberg is here today because of a little something he's known as around PA, the mental health guy, which is by far the best compliment ever. I'm personally manifesting that title into my future. But anyways, he is one of the biggest mental health advocates in the Pennsylvania state capitol and probably within the whole entire population of Pennsylvania. PA loves him, and the people he represents in the Lehigh District love him because he's a people's man. And he's shown us that he is just one of us. For years, he's opened up about his battle with mental illness, and every single day, he fights so hard to get the necessary funds needed to support mental health resources for people in Pennsylvania and nationally. And what we are going to talk about today is something that everybody needs to hear. It's basically how to turn our own emotional pain, our struggles, our hardship, whatever weight you've been carrying, and how to turn it into something positive. It's about how we can transform our pain into our personal superpower. Every single one of us has been through something tough or will go through something tough. But those moments won't feel nearly as heavy when you begin to realize that your pain actually has purpose. I want to speak directly to whoever is listening and let you know that I am so sorry for whatever you're going through or whatever you've been through. I'm truly so sorry. I understand how hard it can be to go through something that you didn't ask for. None of us asked or deserve to go through the things that have been handed to us. But Representative Schlossberg and I are here today to remind you that we aren't in control of what happens to us, but we are in control of how we handle it and how we let it get to us. The best thing we can do when we're handed pain is to turn it into pain with purpose and to let it change us for the better. And just so you know, I'm not being unrealistic here at all, listen to these facts. People who go through adversity or challenging times are more likely to develop greater long-term success than those who haven't. Here's a cool study. Out of 400 ultra-high achievers, so like crazy successful people, 75% of them had went through major early life hardship. I mean, there are so many more studies that all say the same thing. Children and people who go through adversity come out with stronger coping skills, better emotional regulation, optimism, and more supportive relationships. But here's the catch. You have to choose to turn your pain into purpose. That choice is the only thing that no one can take from you. It's the one thing you can control out of this situation. I am just so excited to keep talking about this that I don't want to waste any time at all. But like always, we start with a warm-up and some feel-good facts. So I have here this week's brain booster, my latest love, and then I leave you with a reminder. I'm just going to get right into them. The brain booster for this week. Did you know that you are 43% more likely to achieve your goals if you write them down? 43% more likely to make your dreams a reality if you just write it down. Why, you ask? Writing down your goals activates this part in the brain called the reticular activating system, which is kind of like a filter for determining what information gets your attention and what gets ignored. So writing this goal down makes it 10 times easier for your brain to say, oh, this is important. Then this goal will stay at the front of your mind instead of being pushed to the back with that one project you did in sixth grade and what you had for dinner two nights ago. Because I bet you right now you can't remember what you had for dinner two nights ago. But with it at the front of your mind, your brain actually starts scanning your environment for opportunities and actions that align with that goal. That's how it works. So for all the people out there who have a mission, a dream, a goal you want to accomplish, write it down. Write it down every week. Write it down when you feel discouraged. Write it down and make it happen. Next, my latest love. And while I talk about my latest love, remember it's your job to reflect on something you love more than usual this week. No wrong answers here. Whatever makes you happy and whatever you love is what you should take a moment to appreciate right now. So while you think of that, I want to send some love and appreciation to my latest love this week, which are my friends. I have some of the best friends in the whole entire world, and they've really been there for me these past few months when things have been super rocky and pretty depressing in my life, not gonna lie. I'm sure I'm not alone in this. Most people, not just me, can relate to dealing with some family issues and attempting to revisit some not so pleasant memories from the past. And I'm also graduating college in a few weeks, and I have no clue where I'm going, what I'm doing. I know that's very relatable to many people, so just know you're not alone on that one. But my friends have really stepped up and have basically become my family during this depressing, awkward, transitional phase of my life. And I also need to share that when I was writing this part of the script about a few days ago, I literally got tears in my eyes as I wrote it, just thinking about how much I actually love them and how lucky I am to have friends like them in my life. So thank you to my friends, and I love you so much. I always end this part with a reminder. I picked this one out specifically for this episode. This is your reminder that everything that happens to you happens for a greater purpose. Truly, there is a greater purpose and meaning behind every challenge you face, lesson you're forced to learn, and every battle you fight. We're going to take just a short break, but shortly after, we are going to meet Pennsylvania State Representative Mike Schlossberg, one of the biggest mental health advocates in the state. I cannot wait for you to meet him and for you to listen to our heartfelt conversation, because this is going to fill you up with something you absolutely need during times of fear and doubt, which is hope. Hope that recovery is possible and that good times are ahead no matter what you're going through. Honestly, President Snow from The Hunger Games said it better than I ever could. Just a little unfortunate that President Snow said this, but I don't know if you remember when he said, "Hope is the only thing stronger than fear." So if you're with us right now, feeling scared, overwhelmed, exhausted, you are about to receive hope and emotional support from me, from Representative Schlossberg, and from this amazing community of strong people all around the world. I love you, and I'm rooting for you. I'll see you right after the break. We're back, and I am just so freaking excited. But before I continue, I want to give you a heads up or a warning to say that we're going to be talking about some sensitive topics such as suicide a little later on. I'm going to start from the very beginning. Basically, the time I heard the name Representative Schlossberg for the first time and the moment I knew I needed him on my podcast. So one morning, I was doing some research on mental health awareness events in my area because I like to go to those. And mind you, I live around Hershey-Harrisburg area in Pennsylvania. So when I saw there was a mental health event at the Pennsylvania State Capitol in Harrisburg, I was like, okay, sign me up. I'm there. Side note, I hope I made my girls proud. I wore a pink blazer to this event to represent the pod, obviously. But anyways, I was at this event at the Capitol. The press came, so people and cameras were everywhere. And the event basically consisted of a few guest speakers talking about breaking the stigma around mental health and advocating for more mental health resources. But there was this one guest speaker that really just stood out the most. You could tell this guy was a leader. He was strong, well-spoken, confident, professional. And when he got to that podium and started sharing his personal story, I kid you not, it was like everybody stopped what they were doing to listen to his story and to what he had to say. Seriously, it was like even the press seemed to forget their job because they were so locked into his words. And even me, I was kind of acting like an idiot before his speech. I mean, I was literally taking videos on Snapchat and sending them to my boyfriend to be like, oh my gosh, like, look what I'm doing. Look at this. This is so cool. Like, okay. So, I mean, I was kind of half in it, half out. But when I started listening to his story, I completely forgot that I was taking videos. So the video on Snapchat just kept playing over and over again in my hand, like waiting to be sent, because I just completely forgot about it. What he said was so moving, inspiring, and even better, relatable for so many people. You probably picked up on it by now. The person on that podium was Representative Schlossberg. He opened up about his battle with major depressive disorder and generalized anxiety disorder. Now, his challenges started when he was just a young child, when he would have anxiety attacks most days, thinking about his parents possibly getting into a car accident or something happening to his parents. During that time, he always knew that he was more sensitive and more frantic than the other kids. He thought he was different. I mean, imagine just being a little kid, looking around at everybody else and thinking to yourself, I am too different. What is wrong with me? He was confused and ashamed only as a little kid. His battle with depression got terribly worse when he started college. He barely had friends, and he really struggled being torn from everything he knew and loved back home. Like, I'm sure that's relatable to so many college students. He said that he began to sink so badly that thoughts and plans of suicide began to float around his, quote, battered brain. Suicide was the darkest voice in his head that he fought against many times over and over again. But over time, counseling and medication saved his life. And while it's a battle he's still facing to this day, he has hope. And he's so thankful he didn't take his life all those years ago, because he sometimes thinks about what would have happened if he had. His family and friends would have been left with a hole in their heart that would have never healed. Someone else would have lived his life, married his wife, had his kids, and someone else would have gotten his job and represent the people of the 132nd district in Pennsylvania that he loves so much. And someone else would have loved it too, if given the chance. So that's pretty much when I turned to my dad, who came with me to the event, and said, I need him on my podcast. That is who I want to talk to. Because even looking at him gave me hope. I mean, it was hard to process that there was a time this man was planning to take a whole bottle of pills because he didn't want to live. But yet, there he was on that podium, standing strong and proud to share his story for other people. That is an incredible human being. I'm about to play the interview with Representative Schlossberg, but you need to know a few things first. Number one, I have way too many things that I need to say that I didn't get a chance to say during the interview, so expect me popping in and out to further explain some things. And secondly, what I will be popping in and out to talk about is a list that I made of extremely powerful strengths that can come out of going through pain. These strengths can become your superpower because of just how powerful they are. Now, they're nothing you haven't heard before, but I'm here to remind you the extreme power found within them. And Representative Schlossberg really helped us out with it because he mentioned some of the items on this list, but I'm here to just further explain them. While you listen to this list, you have to keep in mind that none of these tools work unless you actively choose to use them. There's no written rule that says just because you've gone through something hard, you will come out a better person. That kind of growth is a choice, and you have the power to activate each and every one of the strengths. It won't be hard because they're already somewhere inside of you. And I really hate to break it to you, but this won't happen if your only response to pain is to completely shut down, bottle it up, push people away, and lash out on the people you love. You have to get honest with what you're feeling and decide to create meaning from it. You won't be doing this alone because me and Representative Schlossberg are here to tell you exactly how to do that. Let's go. Hello? Hi!
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
No one's throwing anything at me. It's a good day so far.
That's awesome. Oh my gosh, I am so excited to be here. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. This is awesome.
These are fun for me. I appreciate where I
awesome.
Appreciate any conversation talking about mental health.
Right, same. You and I have that in common for sure.
Good.
Okay, there we go. We are going. Perfect. You're very open about your mental health challenges. Was there a specific turning point where you decided you wanted to start talking about it in your public work?
There was a very specific moment. It was the suicide of Robin Williams. And that was twofold. First, when he died by suicide, I think like most people with some sort of mental illness, you think if it was him, why wouldn't it be me? What chance do I have if a guy who lived a life of such, you know, seemingly such joy and such comedy could lose his battle? And then there was some guy on Facebook to this day, I do not remember who because I hit the unfriend button on the spot, But he said something along the lines of, oh, such a shame Robin Williams committed suicide. He just needed to pray more. And I remember looking at that and being like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. How could any human being be so stupid? And it was a very crystallizing moment because it was a reminder, no. People really believe that. There are really people out there who think that you can just pray away mental health. Not that prayer can't be an important part of somebody's battle against mental illness. It absolutely can and should be, but it's about much more than that. That was the moment of, okay, people really are this dumb. And if people really are this dumb, then maybe this is time for me to say something. And so that turned into an op-ed in my local paper. And I sent it to them. They said, wow, this is really great. We're going to run it tomorrow. And I was like, oh, okay, great. I'm going to go have an anxiety attack over here. And it took some of my friends to be like, calm down. No. This is good. And it was a good friend, one of my colleagues, actually, my best friend, who said to me, you know, this is going to change your whole career. So what do you mean? He said, you are about to be the mental health guy. And I mean that with nothing but love. I was like, didn't think about that. And he was right. And from there, you know, having a credible voice in this arena and having that lived experience undeniably helped. And it went from there.
Was there a specific moment where you realized that your mental illness wasn't just a challenge, but could actually be a source of insight and power?
There were a lot in the aftermath of the op-ed that I wrote. That's when it started becoming like, oh, this was actually a really, really good thing and a bigger deal than I imagined. It was about 11 years ago now. I remember starting to get emails from across the state because I wrote the op-ed in my local paper. Then it got picked up by a bunch of bigger papers. And then I started getting emails from my colleagues and from people around the Commonwealth and from other organizations. And then the personal stories. The time that I participated in a panel discussion and somebody said that they put my op-ed on the wall of their inpatient facility. Or when a friend of mine was in therapy talking about how ashamed they were and their therapist, not knowing our connection, brought up my op-ed. Once in a while, people saying to me, I want to say thank you because of what you said. I went into therapy or I was able to better understand what I was suffering through. Somewhere around there, I started to go, yeah, this is a really good thing that I did this, and began to really realize the impact of telling your story and trying to break those stigma-related challenges. And then, knowing how easy it is now, I laugh about it. But like when I first started talking about mental illness, 2014, I don't want to say it was a big deal, but people weren't quite discussing it as openly as they do now. People, especially in younger generations, just casually dropping comments about the antidepressants that they're on or the therapy that they're in, or just weeding out, hey, I need a therapist, and getting a normal responses just like you would, hey, I need a urologist. Seeing the way that things have changed and knowing that in a small way I got to play a part in that, that's a good experience. That's one I can take with me.
People found so much comfort from you and from your story.
And you know, for me, it was Robin Williams' suicide. And in the aftermath of it, there were a lot of people like me who started really talking publicly about their challenges. I remember there were like four or five of us who put something on social media, like small business owners, et cetera. And Robin Williams' suicide was a massive tragedy. And that, unfortunately, to an extent, there was a contagion effect. There was a study afterwards that showed that more men his age not only died by suicide, but died by hanging in a statistically significant way, which was obviously tragic. So you've got to try to use that event to do some good. And that's what me and a bunch of others did.
How have you used your challenges to become a better person? Like, how do you think it's made you a better father, a better person in the community?
Think is a reminder of the struggles that people face because, look, it gets way too easy in the world of being an elected official to only see things from a selfish perspective. So, within the realm of mental health, it's obviously a language I speak very coherently and gotten painfully good at figuring out, at trying to work with other people in that regard. That being said, there is obviously so much more to being an elected official than helping people with mental illness. And you use what you have for empathy and to remind yourself of the struggles that other people face in general. And in that regard, I think I've done some good. Struggling with what I've struggled through has gone, okay, well, I have this. What's wrong with this other person that maybe I can help with? It gets difficult at moments, especially for people who really struggle to be like, this sucks. Why me? On a personal level, the why me part has been answered. This is part of who I need to be as an elected official and as a father and a husband and all that. So I have no regrets. about anything that I've had to suffer through. And I think that's a really healthy attitude for people in general. You don't have to be an elected official to be able to figure out ways to be grateful for the physical or mental challenges that you have. And that would absolutely be my advice to people, is take what you have and try to figure out a way to learn resiliency from it, to learn how to use your trauma for a positive experience. And I don't ever mean to say it flippantly. For a lot of people, that's a massive challenge. But if people who are listening who struggle with some sort of challenge need a reason to understand, try to use it from the perspective of how has this helped me, and how can I use what I suffered through to help other people.
We need to unpack this. Representative Schlossberg just mentioned a few things on my list of strengths that can be turned into your superpower. One of the most powerful ones, resilience. Resilience is one hell of a superpower, and you, my friend, have the power to become incredibly resilient. Seriously, it's a fact that going through adversity or facing mental and emotional challenges builds resilience. Because most of the time, resilience isn't something you're born with. It's learned and developed over time through every setback, every heartbreak, every challenge. Each of these are chances to strengthen that resilience muscle, but only if you let it. Imagine the person you could become and the things you could accomplish with strong resilience. Because not only can it let you stay steady through the hard times, but it lets you go even higher, above and beyond. Like when you're going through a stressful time with either work, family issues, whatever it may be, and all you want to do is just collapse on the couch when you come home, but resilience might say something like, no, you still have to do that 30-minute workout to take care of your physical health. Or if you get broken up with by someone you're in love with, someone you thought you were going to marry, resilience never lets you fall in a major depression or lets you ever say, my life is over. Instead, it'll force you to learn from the relationship so you can then be better in the next one. Or even the smaller short-term stresses, like when you're stuck in traffic and late to a big business meeting, resilience won't let you panic and have an anxiety attack in the car, but it makes you say, this sucks, but I've been through worse, so I'll be okay from this. You can see how the power from resilience is that it protects you. It protects you from crumbling, and it protects your mind from slipping into darker places. It makes you unstoppable so you can grow into the person you want to be, regardless of what happens. It's one of the greatest tools you'll ever carry throughout life, and you have the power to unlock it. The second thing he talked about on the list of superpowers, empathy and human connection. Guys, I'm basically buzzing right now because I can't even tell you how huge and important this is for us. And how do I know this is huge? How do you know this is huge? Because we all have someone in mind right now where you can just tell they've never had to go through anything hard before in their entire life. And while that's not a problem, it can become a problem when they're insensitive and inconsiderate of your feelings, when they look at you like you're crazy when you tell them you're going through a mentally hard time, when you have to listen to them complain about every dumb thing in the world because the little things actually stress them out, and also when they can't really be there for you in the moments you could really use some extra support in, not because they don't care, but because they don't know what it's like to feel such strong, challenging emotions. Therefore, they don't know how to be there for you in the way that you deserve them to be. And this can be extremely damaging to the relationship. Not being able to be there or understand at all what your loved one is going through, which is why I say a huge superpower that comes from going through hardship is one, the ability to connect with people on a level you never could before, and two, being able to help your loved ones get better because you should want and need the people around you to be okay. With empathy, If someone opens up to you, you don't just say in your head, "Oh, well, that sucks. So glad I'm not you." No, you can say the two magic words that relieves your anxiety and their anxiety. "Me too. I feel you, I understand you, and I'm here for you." Your role in being able to relate and to be there for them can make all the difference in strengthening the quality of your relationships. In fact, every single psychologist and doctor will tell you the importance of having good, strong relationships in your life. Multiple studies and TED Talks talk about how the number one predictor for a longer, healthier life is the quality of your relationships. So, yes, having this kind of empathy and being able to help your loved ones is an incredible strength that can be given to you by going through adversity. Now, we're not going to change the topic too much going into the next question.
Speaking about it, does that give you any sort of comfort and healing?
I will definitely say it's given it a purpose. And yes, I will say healing. Because at my most anxious or depressed moments, I can at least say, look, this sucks, but at least I know I've done some good for people. And being able to have that can give some of the challenges and things that I fought with a reason.
Also, speaking about it, the two words are so extremely powerful and important. Me too.
Yeah.
You being able to talk about it and then having people be like, wait, me too.
Yep, definitely. That was absolutely my experience as kind of went forward in this behavioral health space. I've joked for years now that I now know prescriptions of more people in the Lehigh Valley than I ever thought that I would. But it's a true statement because people would say to me, oh, me too. I was like, okay.
We need to debrief this. This is basically what this entire episode comes down to. The idea that your suffering doesn't have to end with you. It can mean something when you use them to help someone else. You don't have to beat yourself or the situation up so much when you're able to switch from the mindset of, I can't believe this awful thing happened, why me, why me, to, this is happening to me for a reason. This shift allows you to take back your power and your control of the situation. If you allow it to, this shift can be the beginning of healing. I do feel like this is a perfect time for me to open up about myself and to tell you a little bit about my story and why I am even here right now, speaking to you on this very mental health podcast. When I was around 12 or 13 years old, one of my close family members started suffering from mental illness so severely that this person did some things while in this headspace that cost my whole family. Yeah, so it impacted my whole family in every way, shape, and form, financially, emotionally, mentally, even physically, from all the stress and anxiety. It was no doubt the hardest thing that I've had to go through and probably will ever go through. Maybe one day, though, I'll deeply analyze the crazy things that my family had to go through on this podcast, because you will literally be like, whoa, what? But to sum it up, it was just a very dark time for many, many years. Even now, we're still dealing with the effects, but some good definitely came out of it. And I owe it all to little Ava, who had a really good head on her shoulders. Because shortly after everything started going bad, when I was 12 or 13, I learned a lot of important lessons that I still live by to this day. One, I learned that mental illness doesn't just impact the person suffering from it, but everyone else around them. So always treat everybody with kindness and with lots of patience, because you truly never know what is going on inside their home or within their friend group or whatever it may be. Two, I learned how to fiercely take care of my mental health and how to protect my well-being so I wouldn't ever become what this one family member became. And if I were to ever genetically get that gene passed down to me, then I know to seek help as soon as possible. 3, I learned what I do not want my future to look like, so I will do everything in my power to provide normalcy and happiness for my future family and children. And 4, I learned what I was put on this earth to do, and that was to help individuals and people suffering from mental illness so they wouldn't have to go through what my family went through. There has never been anything more clear to me. It's like my purpose was literally served to me on a silver platter. And because I knew that, I was okay and am now okay. I mean, I'm still processing and trying to understand, but being able to recognize my purpose of using my painful experience to help someone else, I've never felt lost in this world, and I've never felt like I was cursed or anything for having to go through so much, because I knew that something so powerful and great is coming out of this situation. Being able to recognize that made me feel in control of what was happening, no matter how terrifying and sad times could be. Looking back on that time now, I figured out exactly what it gave me, and it was hope. I had hope that one day bad times would come to an end, and that those very bad times would not be pointless if I just do something about it. There was never anything else that I wanted to pursue above psychology. Like, I actually have this vivid memory of being a freshman in high school, so I was about 14 or 15, and in one of my classes, I think it was a nutrition or wellness class or something like that, we had to give a presentation on majors that we wanted to study in college. And I remember saying, oh, that's so easy. I want to study psychology and be a therapist. So that's what I gave my presentation on. Then 4 or 5 years later, when I started college, of course, majored in psychology, and I've learned such incredible and life-changing information about human behavior, the brain, and why people behave the way they do. So not only did I start analyzing what happened with my family, but as I was learning so much, I knew that I wanted to share that information. I would always give advice and share it with my loved ones, but I knew my purpose was to do more than that. So my last year of college, I randomly had the idea to start a mental health podcast specifically for women, because maybe this is just my perspective, but being a teenage girl and a young adult in today's world is so overwhelming. It can be competitive, messy, and toxic. So this podcast is to try to undo that and to bring women together, because we need to be working together, not against each other. One of the best parts is that I'm delivering this information to you from someone who doesn't have it all figured out yet. I'm still learning and growing and healing, and that's what I love most about it, because I want us to do that together. I want to do that with anyone who is willing to listen. That's why I always say it's the podcast where we become our best selves together, because at least on my part, that couldn't be more true for me. And if I can help just one person, at least one, feel seen, understood, or just a little bit better, that is all I could ever ask for. That is my dream coming true. And throughout the years, being able to talk to other students and psychologists, I learned that most of us are the same in the sense that we are studying psychology to fulfill our purpose of helping others that was given to them by hardship and challenge as well. We all have our own individual stories in psychology, and that's the same for millions of people who also turn their pain into their superpower by helping to heal the world. So if I can do it, if people in the psychology field can do it, doctors, entrepreneurs, scientists, politicians like Representative Schlossberg, you can most certainly do it too. We're in luck, because Representative Schlossberg tells you exactly how to do that in the very next question.
What advice do you have for people who are now listening to this and are like, okay, I'm dealing with something, but I want to use it. I want to use it as my superpower.
Understand just how complicated it is, and it's one of those lessons that taught me years to know. And depending on where you are in your journey, that's something that really takes time because everybody's experience with mental illness is different. So that's number one. Number two, get help because it's an impossible lesson to learn on your own. Now, for a lot of folks, including me, that means actually seeing a therapist. For a lot of others, that may mean leaning on people who have been there or leaning on somebody with a degree of understanding and expertise in mental health. If not a therapist, then a peer who has some lived experience or a religious leader or something like that. Third, patience. That's not a lesson that you can just snap your fingers and learn. It's a lesson that really takes a lot of time to figure out. And unless you're willing to give yourself that time, you're not going to get there immediately.
How could someone with anxiety use it as a superpower?
When you are able to face your way through any sort of mental illness, and certainly including any anxiety disorder, I think it gives you strength that there's really nothing that you can't handle. I'll use this as an example. Very lucky, have wonderful parents all my life. They were supportive and kind, and they've always been my best friends. Lost my dad about almost a year and a half ago, a little bit more than
Oh,
that.
I'm so sorry.
And, oh, thank you. You know, it's a human experience. One of the
Yeah.
things. As a kid, a constant source of anxiety actually was something happening to my parent. And they would find out later, of course, that's a source of anxiety, especially for anxious kids. And I remember even as a young man sitting in therapy and talking about something with my parents. And I remember even saying to my therapist, one of these days I'm going to lose my parents and I have zero idea how I'm going to recover. And then the inevitable comes. I remember being struck by the fact, and I joked about it, all the years in therapy helped me get through because it taught me how to be resilient, how to use my own mind and my own support network to get through incredible challenges. And there's very little more challenging in life, if you're lucky, really, than losing a parent. And I remember thinking to myself, it really is true. I spent years in therapy preparing for this moment, but because of everything that I experienced, I've been able to get through one of the worst moments of my life. And not that grief just disappears. But one of the things you learn in therapy is you're not necessarily supposed to eliminate bad circumstances. In fact, just the opposite. If you try to eliminate bad circumstances, you get too anxious when they actually occur. Instead, you acknowledge them, you work your way through them, and you hopefully come out better on the other side. All of my experiences with anxiety and depression enabled me to handle the hardest challenge of my life. And in that regard, my mental illness did become a superpower. It put me in a position where I could actually deal with this terrible loss. That's exactly how my dad would have wanted me to handle losing him. And in that regard, mental illness helped me. It got me there.
Seriously, I am so inspired right now. I just have to cut in to say that. And while I'm here, I want to point out a huge lesson that we can take away from this story, which is that in those times of discomfort, setback, challenge, it's actually shaping you, strengthening you, and preparing you for bigger moments you never thought you'd get past. That's exactly what happened with Representative Schlossberg. Ever since he was a little kid, a huge source of anxiety for him has been the thought of something happening to his parents. It was such an intense fear that it caused him emotional suffering for years. But throughout it all, his years in therapy, his sadness and anxiety thinking about it, the whole time it was actually preparing him for that devastating moment when the time actually came. That's the hidden truth behind our own obstacles. Now, when you're in the moment of hardship and discomfort, your only job is to remember to say the words, "This is happening for some greater purpose." If you already say this to yourself in the moment, you are seriously a superstar and incredible because that is so hard to do. But if you remember to say these words and to believe it with all your heart, then you just took back control of the situation. You saved yourself from going down a negative cycle, and you're letting hope outshine fear. Okay, back to the original question. I asked Representative Schlossberg about anxiety because we all battle anxiety to a certain extent, But there are some people out there with severe anxiety, and I want to validate those people because I know what it's like, where most things have your heart racing out of your chest, you feel like you're going to pass out, your mind is spiraling in 10 different directions at once, all while you're just trying to look normal in front of everyone. Anxiety makes everything 10 times harder, which is why Representative Schlossberg is right when he says that there is nothing you can't do if you go through your days with that kind of anxiety. Seriously, think about it for a second. Feeling anxiety that intense is literally one of the most challenging things a human can experience. You're living on fight or flight mode. So take a moment to realize you feel that, and then acknowledge that you're still here. You're still going. That's like a superhero or something like that. And this doesn't just apply to people with anxiety. It applies to anybody with any sort of challenge. I want everyone to stop for a second and to really think about the hardest thing you've ever had to go through. Maybe it's a painful realization you've had to come to, a really emotionally dark time, grief, heartbreak. Think about how heavy that felt. You can't believe you went through that. But let's not forget here that you survived it. You're here. You proved that you're much stronger than you thought, and that you really do have the capability of surviving the day without all the answers, while still managing to breathe through it. Aren't you, like, surprisingly proud of yourself right now? Like, damn, I really did that. I went through that. Now it's your job to use that feeling as fuel to handle whatever else comes your way in the future. I'm feeling so pumped right now. We're gonna keep going because we got some more inspirational stuff from Representative Schlossberg coming up next.
What is something that helped you cope?
The knowledge that, two things. First, the knowledge that nothing is forever, that even mental illness winds up rising and falling, and that you can get through a terrible moment in your life, no matter how difficult it may seem. Second, as I've said, my mental illness and fighting my way through it taught me so much, and there's so much opportunity for positive growth to not only figure out how to battle your own mental illness, your own demons, but to know that it can make you a more empathetic person, a more patient person, and a better person. Because I've been able to get through on the other side, to an extent, I have no regrets and I wouldn't change anything.
I just want to touch on what you just said, a better person.
It teaches you things. It teaches you to be more patient with yourself and thus more patient to other people. It teaches you how to understand that individual moments can ultimately be better moments. It teaches you maybe in a way to be kinder to other people. Because I remember when I was in the throes of depression and anxiety, how miserable I was, not only to myself, but to other people. And you see other people going through stuff and you think, wow, they're really a jerk. And then you go, okay, well, hang on. Maybe they're just experiencing something that you can't even begin to comprehend. So it hopefully makes you a more patient person and thus a kinder person as well.
We got two more great superpowers on the list. The third superpower, kindness. In today's world, kindness is absolutely, most certainly a superpower. And I want to point out that people who go through adversity usually go one of two ways. Either become a total asshole, hate the world and everyone in it because of what they went through, or they become more gentle, sensitive, and kind. But I want people to know that if you choose to go in the first direction of being an asshole, that's actually only weakening your physical and mental well-being. It's making you feel worse because of the whole physiological process that goes on in our bodies when we're an asshole. The same thing with being kind, except it does the opposite. It improves your mental health and your physical well-being. That's why it's a superpower. But remember that it's a choice to be more kind after going through adversity. Speaking for myself when I say this, when I went through my personal family struggles that I talked about earlier, something that it did was severely humble me. In a good way, though, it grounded me in a way that made me see everyone around me differently. No matter how wealthy, beautiful, older, younger, or successful someone can be, I now just see them as human beings with feelings, just like myself. So it prevented me from ever feeling like I was above or below anyone else. The next superpower, number 4, and arguably the most important one on the list, Representative Schlossberg said, the ability to be kinder and more patient to yourself. But I'm going to expand this a bit and say, you build a better, healthier relationship with yourself. This is your time for rebirth and for a growth like none other. Let me give you a perfect example. Well, first of all, hi Alexis, if you're listening to this, sorry for writing out your business on my podcast. Oops. So Alexis is my little sister, and she's in the hospital right now, recovering from something that she's basically battled for years, ever since she was very young. She keeps saying that she can't believe she hit rock bottom, but I keep saying, hold up, when you hit rock bottom, that means you can only go up. And that's what she's doing. She's getting better, and I'm the proudest big sister ever right now. But she said something else to me that I won't forget. She said, I just want to go back to how things used to be. I just want to be and feel like my old self again. And I told her, do not wish for that because there is no going back. When you recover from this, you are going to be a completely new person, a better, more aware, more wise, more strong, resilient person. This is your time for rebirth, and you can choose to go one of two ways. Choose to dwell on this for the rest of your life, wonder why you're a victim, tell yourself you'll never be able to move past this, or you can choose to meet this version of yourself that's being shaped right now in this hard time. Maybe I didn't say it exactly like that to her, but you get what I mean. And I know you too will make the right choice. This is just what I have to say to people who are going through a challenging time. And I know my sister is not the only one going through it. So now let's hear what Representative Schlossberg has to say.
What do you have to say to the people who are experiencing right now what you experienced those years ago when you were in your lowest state? What do you have to say to those people?
On a personal level, I'm like any other normal human being. I'm no different than anybody else. And myself and tens of millions of others have found their way out of the darkness and into a better life. There is no reason that that can't be you or anybody else. With time and with professional guidance, there is nobody that I think can't find their way out of the darkness that doesn't have the right mindset to do so. That's not to say that it's all completely on you. It doesn't work that way. But it is to say that you can't get out of any mental illness without changing your attitude, without trying, instead of ruminating and marinating in your own suffering, without trying to figure out positive things that you can do to get out, be it therapy, lifestyle changes, social changes, exercise, whatever. Everybody with a comprehensive treatment plan can find their way out of the darkness. Even people who struggle to access some of the professional services that a lot of us are lucky enough to find.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you want people to know?
Anything really is possible. People who've been in much worse shape than me have been able to recover and lead much better and happier lives. There's no reason that that can't be anybody. Like, anything really is possible. And I hope that even in somebody's darkest moments, they can try to understand that reality and live that reality.
I couldn't agree more. He said that in much better words than I could have. And here I have two more reasons that will help you lead that better, happier life. Or in other terms, I have two more superpowers here to help you out. The fifth superpower on the list is that you don't take the good things for granted and you appreciate the simple things more. Let me tell you why this is special. Do you realize that most people are living on autopilot? They get so used to the good things that they stop noticing them. And then they become numb to joy unless it's huge, flashy, big. Their expectations just need to keep rising to get any sort of satisfaction back. Let me give you an example and tell you how extremely little it takes for me to get happy. I have a perfect example. You're now all familiar with my childhood. It was always such a stressful time in my house 24/7 growing up that I wasn't ever able to have friends come over to hang out. Maybe like two people who I was really comfortable with would come over one at a time, but I wasn't ever able to host even little hangouts or sleepovers or birthday parties. So something small that I always hoped for when I was younger was just to be able to have a sleepover at my house with my friend group. So one of these days, when I have my own space and I'm able to invite my friends over, that moment is going to mean so much to me and I'm going to appreciate it so much. That's going to be like my I made it moment. And it's literally something as simple as that. The next and final superpower on the list, the sixth one, to say it in simple terms, you just become so much more smart. And not just in the textbook sense, because that can only get you so far. Basically, being forced to experience life through a new lens, a new mindset, a new perspective when you go through hardship, or especially mental illness, it teaches you more about life than a textbook ever could. You learn about emotional intelligence, human behavior, and how to actually understand certain people. Adversity might actually sometimes be what pulls the genius out of people. This plays a huge part in why 75% of extremely successful people have gone through adversity. Let me give you a fantastic example. In one of my psychology classes, we learned about an entrepreneur who came up with an absolutely brilliant invention, like billion-dollar level innovation. But when he brought this idea to companies and pitched it to many different ones, every single one turned him down. Even though what he was pitching had billion-dollar potential, he was still rejected, not because the invention wasn't good enough, but because he didn't know how to properly explain it. He didn't know how to communicate the value in a way people could understand. He didn't know how to read the room, how to engage his audience, or how to break things down in a way that actually landed with people. His missing piece was his inability to connect with others and to understand how people think, feel, and respond. It's a different kind of smart we're talking about here, and it's the same kind of smart that going through adversity can teach you if you let it. And now, with that, I will leave you with the end of me and Representative Schlossberg's life-changing conversation.
Amazing. That is all I have to ask and all I want to talk about. I cannot thank you enough.
Happy to do. This is my thing. I really am happy to do it.
I appreciate that and your time so, so much.
My pleasure. I'm always happy to talk.
Wasn't he just amazing? I mean, his perspective was the perfect reminder that beneath titles and roles, we're all just the same. We're united by the fact that all of us are just trying to navigate complex emotions and figure ourselves out. No one has all the answers, but we're figuring it out together as a community, no matter who you are. I have so much love right now for the Wild Girls Need a Pink Disco Ball community. I'm so happy we're here together right now, but I'm getting a little carried away now. I still have to remind you of those superpowers we talked about throughout this episode that you have the power to unlock and that can completely transform your life. Those superpowers are resilience, empathy and human connection, kindness, a new relationship with yourself, gratitude for the little things, and intelligence. These are designed to make life feel fulfilling and feel good on the inside, not just to look good on the outside. They're crucial for not only surviving, but for thriving after hardship. You deserve to thrive, and you absolutely have the power to do so. Now, this episode wasn't necessarily meant to teach you anything new that would totally knock your socks off. It was just a reminder to use the tools that are already with you, but just got dampened and forgotten about when going through something challenging. Another important takeaway, maybe the most important thing here, this is not intended to glamorize struggle or pain, because what the hell? No. Representative Schlossberg and I both agree that your pain should never become your whole identity, and you shouldn't hold attachment to it. This was simply a reminder that if you've gone through hardship, it does not define you, but it can fuel you into becoming the person you are meant to be, because you most certainly went through that hardship for a reason. Let this be your sign to finally start the healing, to finally believe in your power, to finally stop letting the pain define you, and to start letting your pain refine you. We just went through an incredible journey together, and I am honored to have done that with you. I really can't tell you how much this episode meant to me, because I've been working on this for about 2 weeks now, and throughout these 2 weeks, there's been so much going on in my personal life. Sometimes it just feels like bad things keep piling up on one another, but throughout it all, I had this episode to think back to, and I would say to myself, what I'm going through right now is only making me stronger. When I'm out of this, I am going to be such a wise, strong, mature woman. This is helping me get to who I want to be. That's what I said to myself because of this episode's reminder, and I really hope you can say the same too, because you deserve to. In case you didn't hear it today, I know it's corny, but I love you so much. I'm rooting for you, and I'm so proud of how far you've come. I'm your girl. You can rely on me for support, for love, whatever the hell you need. I'm here. And the Wild Girls Need a Pink Disco Ball community is here for you too. I will say, I've been popping off on the TikTok. I've been posting some feel-good stuff about every day. So if you want to check that out, it's Pink Disco Ball Pod. And my Instagram is Wild Girls Need a Pink Disco Ball, because I obviously post more inspirational stuff there too. Definitely check it out. It'll make you feel better. Oh, and one more thing. I am not a licensed psychologist or mental health professional. This podcast is meant to share research, insights, and personal experiences, and it should never replace professional advice. If you or someone you know is struggling with mental health, I strongly encourage reaching out to a licensed therapist, counselor, or other qualified mental health professional. Until next time, bye-bye.